Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello there, and a warm welcome to DW's Africa Link program, coming to you live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And my name is Jenyinge. Glad you could join us. Remember, we are also live on Facebook, DW Africa.
That's right, indeed, Jen. Coming up on the program, history is made in Liberia as former football star George Weah is sworn in a peaceful transition of power that has not been seen in the country for 7 decades. We hear from an analyst.
President Weah is taking over the country with a group of young people with high expectations. Those expectations, if they are not managed, the frustration will be seen in the shortest possible time.
Also in the program, ousted Catalan leader Carles Puigdemont declares they will not relent in their quest for independence from Spain.
In the last months, fundamental freedoms had been undermined. Democratically elected politicians have been sent to preventive prison and have been treated like terrorists.
And we'll be hearing why the standoff between the Catholic Church in the Democratic Republic of Congo and President Joseph Kabila is far from over after 6 protesters were killed.
These are some of the stories that we've lined up for you.
But first, here's also a chance to listen to what's been happening around the world.
I'm Shay Meineke with DW News. Former international football star George Weah was sworn in as Liberia's new president on Monday, replacing Nobel Peace Prize winner Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, who served as president for 12 years. Weah gave a rousing speech at a stadium near capital Monrovia, telling the packed crowd that he would create new jobs and bring prosperity to the poor West African country.
I'm overwhelmed with the crowd and the energy here today, and I guarantee you when we finish, there will not be a winner or a loser. Today we all wear the jersey of Liberia, and the victory belongs to the people, to the peace, and to our democracy.
Weah's inauguration marks the first democratically elected transition of power for Liberia since 1944. In Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu welcomed U.S. Vice President Mike Pence at Israel's parliament in Jerusalem, where Pence announced amid Israeli Arab lawmaker protests that the U.S. embassy will move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem by the end of 2019.
In the weeks ahead, our administration will advance its plan to open the United States embassy in Jerusalem. And that United States embassy will open before the end of next year.
Pence is the first senior U.S. official to visit the city since U.S. President Donald Trump sparked Palestinian protest and international outcry by declaring Jerusalem Israel's capital. Convicted serial killer Niles Hogle has been charged with 97 new counts of murder during court proceedings in the northern German city of Oldenburg. The former nurse admitted to giving patients medicine to inflict heart failure so that he could then try to revive them. Hogle was first sentenced in 2008 for attempted murder and was then handed a life sentence in 2015 for 6 counts of murder. This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. South Africa's ruling ANC party has confirmed discussing President Jacob Zuma's possible exit as head of state, with Secretary General Ace Magashule saying, however, that no decision on removing Zuma has been agreed upon. Magashule added that new ANC leader Cyril Ramaphosa will lead discussions with Zuma about his possible departure. Ramaphosa was elected as the new ANC chairperson in last December and is widely expected to win the 2019 election. France has condemned Congolese security forces for shooting and killing at least 6 people and wounding dozens of others. After Catholic Church leaders organized a demonstration near capital Kinshasa on Sunday against President Joseph Kabila's 17-year rule. A UN peacekeeping mission in the Central African country said over 70 people were arrested across the country, and the UN peacekeeping mission has called for peace between the two sides. And now in sports, 2 African Nation Cup matches will get underway in Morocco on Monday, with Group B clubs Ivory Coast facing off against Uganda and Namibia playing against Zambia. Namibia and Zambia's outcome will decide the winner of Group B. For more news and information, visit our website at dw.com. I'm Shay Meineke.
Welcome back once again to the program. My name is Isaac Mugabe.
And my name is Jen Nyinge. We are live from our studio here in Bonn, Germany, and also streaming this show live on Facebook. So feel free to like, share, and leave a comment on the stories we are airing.
Well said, Jen. We begin today's program in Liberia, where former international football star George Weah was sworn in as Liberia's new president in the country's first transition between democratically elected leaders since 1944. Weah took over from Nobel laureate Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, who spent 12 years at the helm, steering the West African nation away from the trauma of a civil war. Weah has vowed to make prosperity and job creation the hallmarks of his presidency. Liberia is one of the poorest countries in the world, ranking 10th from the bottom out of 188 countries on the Human Development Index, compiled by the UN Development Programme. Evelyn Kipade in Monrovia has been telling me about the mood and what ordinary Liberians expect from their new leader.
The mood among Liberians were very exciting, and it was jubilation among them. This is the first inauguration ever in the country history for Liberians to gather in such huge number. And in the first place, at a sports stadium, this has never happened.
You were able to speak to some Liberians at the inauguration ceremony of George Weah. What kind of hopes do they have in him? I mean, what did they tell you?
Some of the Liberians I talked to, they have many expectations, especially among young people. The expectations range from improving the economy, improving the lives of the ordinary Liberians, and creating jobs for young people. Here is what other Liberians I spoke with here at the complex said.
I pray that he create a job avenue for you, the youth, because we all know that the unemployment rate is very high in Liberia.
First of all, my expectation for this government would be that those corrupt officials will be dealt with.
Now, coming back to President George Weah, what kind of message did he have for Liberians in general?
George Weah, in his inaugural speech, spoke very powerfully against corruption, vowed to prosecute corrupt officials. He also said that Liberia's development is not just him. He calls for a collective support from Liberians themselves, international partners, and as well as the private sector. The private sector, according to him, is helpful in rebuilding Liberia's broken economy. I also spoke to a political analyst, and he's also at the Liberian Senate, Jalawa Tompo, about the challenges he sees ahead of George Weah's government.
President Weah is taking over the country with a group of young people with high expectations. Those expectations, if they are not managed, the frustration will be seen in the shortest possible time. 100% certain that what has been said from his speech, if he should stand by his speech, and I think the frustration will not be seen. But he is taking over the country for President Weah, find himself in a good position now to take on where President Sirleaf left the country to carry it forward. So the only best thing he can do now is that the people that he will surround himself with, the ministers, the government officials, the cabinet ministers, I mean the autonomous agencies, the directors and what have you, if he is not careful and bring in what we consider people who want to fill in their own pocket, I foresee a disaster in the future. Let's wait and see by 6 o'clock the first 5 cabinet ministers that he will announce. From there, then we can deduce our yes, either the country will make progress or will not make progress.
That was an analyst ending my short chat or conversation with our own Evelyn Pade in Monrovia. And as you might have realized, you know, the sound quality wasn't so great because of the mood, because of the ecstatic crowds there in Monrovia. And we also want to bring to your attention, in case you are having difficulties following us on Facebook Live, we have a few technical difficulties which are being sorted out by our team of, you know, good social media enthusiasts. And Jen Nyingi, right here next to me, wants to come up with some of your comments. Jen?
Yeah, absolutely. Jonah Musa says he should respect the referee's yellow and red card and his whistle. I don't know what he means by that.
Igwe Henry says, I want him to make appointments based on merit and not give them to relatives or friends. Aha. He's trying to point out that nepotism, not a good idea.
Yes, indeed. And Mathause Sithoe has one advice to President Weah: don't become a dictator.
Johnson Wilfred has also some message for George Weah. He says, he should deliver Liberians from mental slavery and equip them to defend themselves. Many thanks to these comments. We'll be back with more of these comments whenever we can.
Moving on, ousted Catalan leader Carles Puigdemont has vowed to form a new government despite threats from the central government in Madrid. Today, a Spanish judge rejected a petition to reissue a European warrant for his arrest after he travelled to Denmark from Belgium. Celo Neko with the details.
Carles Puigdemont arrived in Copenhagen from Brussels for a debate on Catalonia at the University of Copenhagen. It's the first time Puigdemont has left Belgium since he fled Spain, fearing arrest on charges of sedition and rebellion. He's being investigated over a declaration of Catalan independence following October's referendum. During his speech, Puigdemont said that they will not be intimidated in their quest for independence.
On December 21, the Catalan people sent a message to Europe and the world. We will not surrender to authoritarianism. It's time to end the repression and find a political solution for Catalonia. No, a penal solution, a political one for Catalonia.
Puigdemont's comments came hours after the Speaker of the Catalan Parliament proposed him as President of Catalonia following an election in December in which separatist parties once again won an absolute majority. Puigdemont wants to be sworn in from Belgium.
In the last months, fundamental freedoms had been undermined. Democratically elected politicians have been sent to preventive prison and have been treated like terrorists. Others, like myself, or other members of my cabinet, have had to exile themselves to avoid prison.
On Tuesday, the 23rd of January, Puigdemont is scheduled to meet Danish lawmakers. His visit might help him avoid problems in Belgium, where he has been for 3 months without a residence permit. Three other separatist politicians are already in custody in Spain over their role in Catalonia's separatist push, including Oriol Junqueras, his former deputy.
DW's Celo Neko.
Now to the Democratic Republic of Congo, where the head of the Konrad Adenauer Foundation, Gregor Lieke, has been telling Africa Link that the standoff between the Catholic Church in the country and the government of President Joseph Kabila will not end anytime soon from now, after security forces killed six protesters as the authorities cracked down on a banned protest against President Joseph Kabila. Yeke spoke about the role of the Catholic Church and its role in Congolese politics. Take a listen.
The conflicts between the Catholic Church and the government of President Kabila began with the demonstrations last year on the 31st of December. Catholic Church is a very important player in Congolese politics and in Congo. And the agreement from the 31st December 2016 between Kabila and the opposition was mainly negotiated by the Catholic Church. But then in the meantime, the church was very frustrated about the way how Kabila and his government were implementing the agreement.
The country's powerful Catholic Church is one of the few institutions to enjoy broad credibility nationally. Do we see the incursion between the church and security forces or the government ending anytime soon?
No, I don't think so. As far as the Congolese security forces killed about six people, I think the demonstrations will go on. A very powerful Catholic Church who has the will to change things in this country.
As the head of the Konrad Adenauer Stiftung or Foundation, what role do you see your organization playing, together with other civil society groups, in seeing that the standoff between the Catholic Church on one hand and the government on the other hand comes to an end or is resolved peacefully?
Of course, negotiations between government and the civil society must go on, and that's where the Konrad Adenauer Foundation comes in and plays an important role as moderator.
I was speaking to Gregor Yekel from the Konrad Adenauer Foundation in the DRC, Kinshasa. Welcome back once again to DW's Africa Link program, coming to you live from our studios in Bonn, Germany. I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And my name is Jen Nyinge. Coming up in the next 15 minutes, a new malaria vaccine doing wonders in Malawi by cutting down malaria cases in the country.
I have seen great change because my baby can hardly suffer from malaria since the malaria trial vaccine she received.
Also on the program, a round of results from weekend games in the ongoing Africa Cup of Nations.
But before we come to that exciting bit of the program, first to Nigeria, where the government has been blamed for not doing enough to stop the current killings in the central region between armed Fulani herdsmen and farmers, especially in Benue State. Since the beginning of the year, more than 80 people have been killed in a crisis that shows no end in sight. That's according to Stop Genocide Action Group, a non-governmental organization. In an exclusive interview with DW's Africa Link program, the group spokesman Sally Nana described what is happening in Benue State as a genocide. Take a listen.
This is now genocide. For example, when you kill a 3-day-old child, that child is neither a farmer nor a herder. You're killing the child because of their ethnic or religious background. That is genocide. So basically, the Stop Genocide Action Group, it started as a campaign, but now an international NGO. So the issue is about stopping the killings and bringing peace.
If you may, tell us, what is this conflict all about?
This conflict initially was conflict over natural resources. So it was initially, it was conflict between farmers and herders. So people were competing over land, but gradually, it has become politicized, and also there are religious manipulations that have been brought into the conflict. There's also criminal elements that have got involved. So they're hired killers, for example. And so all these factors and criminality has kind of like escalated these issues. So we are there to bring peace, but in order to do that, you need to ensure that there's justice. One of the things that has caused the problem to escalate is the fact that perpetrators are not held to account. So people kill people and then they're not arrested.
And why are the perpetrators not held accountable?
It's a question of bad governance, impunity, not holding people to account. If you kill someone, you need to be prosecuted. That is the only way you can stop a tit-for-tat killing. And one cannot understand how you kill 800 people and no single person is held to account. So if nobody is being arrested, if nobody is being prosecuted, then what people do is they then think that, okay, I need to defend myself.
And having said that, why has it become difficult for the government to reconcile these two sides?
One, the government is weak. There's also corruption. There's impunity. So the law is not being enforced. In order to solve this farmer herder issue that has now become sort of wider, one of the things is to actually ban private militias. It has to be the official police and the official army that hold arms, not private people. That's one thing. The other thing is the government needs to sanction everybody that violates the law, including governors or elected officials. But if you allow people to be setting up private militia, then these conflicts will continue.
Is your organization working on its own in Nigeria, or it has other partners?
We are working with a lot of partners on the ground, individuals and organizations inside Nigeria, because no one organization can solve the problem. It's so big. So in order to have impact, our aim is to work with all well-meaning organizations and people. For example, our people have met Amnesty International to share some of the information we have in Lagos, and met other organizations to say, okay, this is the information. The impact we've had is far more bigger than what we thought.
I was speaking to Professor Sally Nana, a spokesman for Stop Genocide Action Group, a non-governmental organization doing its work in Nigeria.
Health check. Now, Malawi continues to register high cases of malaria, especially among children under the age of 5. However, health experts say a malaria vaccine, which has been proved effective in reducing malaria cases, should be used as an additional intervention to reduce the burden. This comes in the wake of proven decline of malaria infections among children who are involved in the malaria vaccine trial by the University of North Carolina project between the year 2009 and 2014. This report by Miriam Kariza is now presented by Eunice Wanjiru.
It's never nice to be in hospital, especially if the health worker is coming towards you for the vaccination. Records indicate that young ones before the age of 5 are at the highest risk of severe malaria, which can affect their development or in the worst cases result in the death of the children. Although statistics show that there has been a reduction of malaria cases over the past years in Africa, in Malawi, nearly half of the children admitted in hospital suffer from malaria. Mrs. Elizabeth Banda from the outskirts of Lilongwe City comes to Area 18 Health Center with all her three children. She said the first two children before the age of 5 battled with malaria quite often, and like the third born, who is now about 2 years old, thanks to the malaria trial.
I have seen great change because my baby can hardly suffer from malaria since the malaria trial vaccine she received. She gets sick sometimes, but with something else. For instance, a cold or running stomach, but she has not been suffering from malaria lately.
Area 18 Health Center attends to a population of over 200,000. The health center in charge, Ketson Masiyano, confirms that malaria remains one of the major challenges, especially among infants. Records at the facility show that between October and December 2017, a total of 439 children were treated of malaria. With the University of North Carolina malaria vaccine trial, Masiyano hopes for an improvement.
The vaccine will render a certain percentage of protection, although it's not 100%, but at least that will minimize our workload.
At Kamuzu Central, which is Malawi's biggest hospital, pediatrician Tisungane Mvalo is part of the team which works on the malaria trial. He says the research shows that the vaccine can significantly reduce malaria infection.
The effectiveness of the vaccine ranged in different areas, but on average, the vaccine efficacy was actually between 39 and 46%, depending on how many doses are given. I've made a recommendation to pilot this vaccine in three countries, of which one of them is Malawi. The other two countries are Kenya and Ghana.
To be saved, I'm starting a new chapter now. Now my name is written in the book of life, yeah.
This year, Malawi, with support from the World Health Organization and other partners, is expected to roll out the pilot project with plans to vaccinate a total of 240,000 infants. The Malaria Control Program under Malawi's Ministry of Health has started working on preparations for the implementation of the vaccine project, which is targeting 11 districts out of a total of 28 of the country. As the experts point out, the malaria vaccine is needed to lessen the disease burden. Other methods to control malaria, like the use of insecticide-treated nets, indoor spraying, and receiving proper treatment, are, however, just as important to reduce malaria in the population.
That report was written by Miriam Kaliza in Lilongwe, Malawi.
And it's that time of the week when we give you another dose of sports. Our contributor from Lagos, Samson Omale, compiled collated results from weekend matches from Africa's top football tournament.
We begin with the results from the 2018 CAF African Nations Championship, CHAN, and Sudan forced Morocco to a frustrating 0-0 draw in their final Group A game on Sunday. Tournament host Morocco finished top of Group A with a better goal difference, while Sudan also advances to the quarterfinals as runners-up. In Group D, Angola defeated Cameroon through a lone goal from Ricardo Estavo in their second Group D match to occupy the number one spot in the group with 4 points from two games. The defeat leaves the Cameroonians placed at the bottom of the Group D with 0 points from two losses so far. Action shifts to Group B today as Namibia will face Zambia while Uganda confronts Cote d'Ivoire. For the Cranes of Uganda, who will be playing for pride following their exit from the tournament, coach Sebastian Desab says lessons were learned.
One competition, it's one objective is to finish third in the group stage. It's important for us because I think we know success to score against Namibia, but in the game, during the game, I think you show we have the quality to play a good football, and I hope to concretize that for one win against Ivory Coast.
Super Eagles of Nigeria will play their final group match on Tuesday against Equatorial Guinea, but for coach Gerard Rohr, who is visiting the Team B Super Eagles in Morocco, he's impressed with what he has seen so far.
I saw collectively a good team today of our Chan team. It's difficult to say that individually one or the other of our players can come with the Super Eagles. They must be very, very, very strong because the level, technical level and the physical level is so high.
Masri coach Hossam Hassan has been suspended for 4 games and fined 20,000 Egyptian pounds for making a rude gesture after Saturday's 2-1 game against Petrojet in the Egyptian Premier League. The Masri coach stated to the media that he was simply celebrating the victory over Petrojet and he is prepared to apologize if his actions offended anyone. In boxing news, Kenya will send a 14-member team to the Indian Open Boxing Tournament as they aim to hone their boxers' preparation for the Gold Coast 2018 Commonwealth Games. A training camp is currently underway in Nairobi, with 28 boxers being put through their paces prior to the event in India. The camp includes 4 women who are all assured of heading to the tournament due to begin on January the 28th. Finally, in athletics news, Ethiopia's triple Olympic track champion Kenenisa Bekele will race the London Marathon in April and line up alongside Britain, Mo Farah and Kenya's Eliud Kipchoge. Kenenisa Bekele, who is now 35 years old, is regarded by many as the greatest distance runner of all time and holder of the 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters world records, who finished second in London last year and was third in 2016.
Samson Omale with that roundup of sports news.
Now, going back to our top story, George Weah has been inaugurated as the new president of Liberia. And Jane, I can tell you, comments are coming in, you know. And Aya Bine from Cameroon says, we asked, of course, the expectations, what they expect from the new leader.
Yes, indeed.
And, you know, many people have been commenting. Aya, like I said, Abine from Cameroon says, I expect justice and leadership by example.
George from Nigeria says that they need total reforms, economic, social, political, judicial, and good governance.
Our usual contributor from Monrovia, that is Liberia, and my namesake apparently, Isaac Godwin Ehoza, says, I expect nothing less than his motto, change for hope. Let's see how far this reflects on the lives of all Liberians.
Sam Oluya also says Africa needs strong, independent institutions, parliament, army, police, and a free press.
Charles Ongole John from Uganda says success where all other previous presidents have failed so that Liberians may fare better. And Jane, of course, we also have comments streaming in from our other story on DRC, Catholic Church, and the government of President Joseph Kabila. They are loggerheads, and our analyst, Tino, said it's not far from over. Come on with the comments anyway.
Mo Cromer says, this is what the security forces do, fire live bullets, tear gas to disperse people who exercise their constitutional rights. When people are oppressed and denied lots of opportunities, protest is the order of the day.
Just to remind you, in case you're just joining us, DRC troops, you know, fired live bullets, killing 6 people at a demonstration that was organized by the Catholic Church. Sam Oloya says the Great Lakes region is where Africa's future political problems lie. This is ironical.
And Romeo Adjel is asking, why does Kabila don't want to step down? This is crazy. Mm. Isaac, what would you say? Do you see him going home in December this year?
Well, wait and see. This is what, you know, our analyst was telling us, you know, from the Conrad and our foundation. And finally, Vincent Wamazembe says, I hope a powerful force comes and sweeps off dictators on the African continent. Why do these leaders tie themselves on the citizens, yet they amass a lot of wealth by eating the taxpayers' money? Anyway, many thanks for your comments. On behalf of the production crew with us in the studios, I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And my name is Jen Nyinge.
Bye for now. We'll be right back.